We've been doing a study called Midnight Bible Stories, and I think you're aware of that. There's a lot of them in the Bible. Midnight is defining, we define it as three things. One, there's, you know, dark times in our lives, and it could be a midnight time. Midnight time can be literally midnight, you know, the hours between sunset and sunrise. And then there's also spiritually dark hours. We find that was the case in our midnight story here in Judges 6 and 7 of the story of Gideon. And we find a midnight time in the time of Israel. They were greatly impoverished because of the Midianites. But the reason that they were greatly impoverished because of the Midianites is because they failed to worship the Lord God. They worshiped Baal just like all the heathens did. And we'll talk about that a little bit this morning. The Lord himself had appeared to Gideon and had told him some three things. Thank you, Mitch. Told him three things, basically. He says, first of all, in verse 12 of Judges 6, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. You read on down. The Lord tells him, thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. And he asks a question, have not I sent thee? And then he says, and Gideon had an argument for each one of these things. You know, you talking to me? That's kind of the attitude we see here. And then we find that the Lord says to Gideon, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. The Lord, seeing the Midianites, that multitude that was there impoverishing Israel as one man. Nothing is hard for the Lord, we know that. We left off last week. We were in Judges 6, 19 through 21, and we find that Gideon went in verse 19 and made ready a kid and unleavened cakes and ephah of flour. The flesh he put in a basket, and he put the broth in a pot, and he brought it out unto him, unto the Lord, the angel of the Lord, under the oak and presented it. Now, he wanted to give this. He saw him as the angel of the Lord, but he was the Lord. He wanted to give him a present, and this is what he did. Now, let's read on here in verse 20 and 21. And the angel of God said unto him, take the flesh and the unleavened cakes and lay them upon this rock and pour out the broth. And he did so. Then the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the flesh and the unleavened cakes. And there rose up fire out of the rock and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. Well, before this, Gideon wanted to see a miracle, remember? If you read the story, well, he saw one. And Gideon wanted to see a sign. He saw one. And this is where he saw it. Now, there are a couple things to highlight here in Judges 6, 20 and 21 that might otherwise be missed. We're in Judges 6, 20 and 21. This meal that Gideon had prepared was received by the Lord as an offering. The Lord gave Gideon instructions as with what to do with his present, which was to lay it upon this rock. This rock figures Jesus, the rock of our salvation. The rock of our salvation is spoken of in the Song of Moses in Deuteronomy 32. It's spoken of in the Song of David in 2 Samuel 22, which is also repeated in Psalm 18. In 1 Corinthians 10:4, the Apostle Paul makes it known that that rock was Christ, who followed the children of Israel in the wilderness. We will find that this rock will be mentioned twice in Judges 6. And go to Matthew 16, 18. I want to review some words that Jesus spoke unto Peter about this rock. It's kind of an important thing here, this rock. This rock, of course, is the Lord. And in Matthew 16, 18, Jesus says to Peter, "And I also say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock," as he points to himself, "I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." This rock that Jesus was referencing to Peter there, of course, was Jesus Christ himself, the solid foundational rock. Recently, you remember, there was a hurricane down in Florida, several of them, but I mean the most recent one, I can't remember what its name was, but it hit a place pretty hard, and it wiped out, just took off the map, I think it was, what they call it, the city of Mexico or something, I forget what it was, Mexico City, yeah, it wiped it out, but there was a house that stood. Did you see that in the news? It had one cracked window. It went through the same hurricane. But what was different about this? The guy that built it went down to a solid rock foundation and put in pilings, I guess, steel or whatever, and then built the house on top of that, leaving enough room underneath so that the ocean could go underneath if there was a hurricane. So he's the only one that's got a place to live in back there. Kind of points out how important a solid foundation built upon the rock is. You can also study Luke 6, 47 through 49 to see this. So, back to our story of Gideon here. Gideon's present that he brought out was placed upon this rock as he was instructed to do so. And then the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the flesh and the unleavened cakes. And there rose up fire out of the rock and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes. That's Judges 6:21. It's interesting to note, as you look these things up, if you do, that we find the phrase, out of the rock, 8 times in Scripture. Now, there's several meanings for the number 8. 8 has a meaning of new creation. It has a meaning of new birth. It has a meaning of new beginning. It has the number of resurrection. And it has the meaning of the bride. But if you put things in context here, we find in our midnight Bible story of Gideon, we find a new beginning starting to take place here for the children of Israel, because Gideon will be used to deliver the children of Israel from the hand of the Midianites in this midnight Bible story. Now, recall back in Exodus that Moses witnessed fire out of the midst of the bush that wasn't consumed. And I think Abraham witnessed the same thing. I'm not real clear on where that is, I think, in Genesis 22. But Gideon here, he witnessed fire out of the rock. Of course, the rock wasn't burnt. But the flesh and the unleavened cakes were consumed as the Lord supped with Gideon. He took this and supped with Gideon. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. Of course, this whole scene left Gideon in awe, and no doubt it left him shaking, as is evidenced in the next verses, Judges 6:22. And when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, it took him a little while. Sometimes it takes us a little time to get the point, right? Finally, Gideon realized it. But it was the angel of the Lord had already departed. But when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, "Alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face." And the Lord said unto him, "Peace be unto thee, fear not, thou shalt not die." Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom. Unto this day it is yet in Ophrah of the Abiezrites. Gideon now, you see here, has perceived that the Lord Jesus Christ himself truly visited him. And we discussed this, I think, last week or the week before. And now the Lord has Gideon's undivided attention, doesn't he? Gideon now realizes that, yes, indeed, the Lord is with thee, as he was told first thing out of the Lord's mouth there in Judges 6:12. The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Gideon is now fearful for his life. Thus the Lord calms him down in verse 23, saying, "Peace be unto thee, fear not, thou shalt not die." The angel of the Lord has departed, but Gideon hears the voice of the Lord speaking to his heart, doesn't he? He recognizes the Lord. And then Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom. And Jehovah Shalom in simplest terms means Jehovah is peace. To Gideon, Jehovah Shalom signified the Lord is my peace. Back in verse 11, we found that Ophrah speaks of dust, and the Abiezrite means the father of the helped. Ophrah of the Abiezrites is where the Lord appeared unto Gideon face to face, and where Gideon has now built this altar called Jehovah Shalom, meaning Jehovah is peace. You'll find it as number 03073 in your Strong's Hebrew Concordance. And so Gideon has learned some things here. First of all, that Jehovah is peace, as well as the Lord is with thee. Now, we'll do a little recap here. Here's what we've learned so far in our midnight Bible story of Gideon. Before Gideon is introduced, we find a dark midnight time in the history of the children of Israel. But remember a thing we've mentioned before also, that the darkest of times brought forth the heroes of faith, midnight hours. The heroes of faith are found listed in Hebrews 11. We found in our study here so far in Judges 6:6 that Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. Well, the reason God allowed his chosen people to become greatly impoverished was because the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Midianites 7 years. That's noted in Judges 6:1. In Judges 7, in Judges 6, verses 7 through 10, we read, as a result of the children of Israel crying unto the Lord, that he sent to them an unnamed prophet who laid out a 7-part indictment unto them that ended with these words found in Judges 6:10. But ye have not obeyed my voice. And we noted as we went through that portion that at that time the children of Israel had no faith, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's found in Romans 10:17. And if they heard the word of God, they obeyed not the voice of God, is found in Judges 6:10. Then we find Gideon is introduced, starting in Judges 6:11. And the Lord appears to him in verse 12 and makes this announcement unto Gideon. The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Here's something that's very interesting. The Hebrew word translated mighty here is Gibor, G-I-B-B-O-R. It's number 1368 in the Strong's Hebrew Concordance. Gibor literally means champion. The Lord saw Gideon as the champion warrior he would become by faith. The Lord is with thee, thou champion. That's what he was saying. Now, of course, we know in Judges 6:12, Gideon didn't view himself as a champion, and nor was he convinced yet that the Lord is with thee. By verse 22, though, Gideon is convinced that the Lord is with thee and proclaims, "Alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face." So it is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ himself, that will also help Gideon in this midnight Bible story deliver the children of Israel from the Midianites, from the Amalekites, and from the children of the east, to prove to Gideon that, yes, he was a mighty man of valor, a champion warrior. Now, let's think about us for a few minutes. The Lord gave us of this church age the Apostle Paul to teach us how we too could become gibbers, champions of faith, that is, full overcomers. The Apostle Paul, in essence, taught us that the Lord is with thee too, thou mighty champion of faith. It was Paul who wrote what we read in Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It was Paul who wrote, the Lord is with thee, using Paul to write these words of Hebrews 13, 5 and 6 and 8, where we read, "For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. The Lord is with thee." So that we may boldly say, "The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. The Lord is with thee." Verse 8 of Hebrews 13. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. In other words, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who visited Gideon face to face, is still the same today as he was in the days of Gideon. And he will remain our same Lord and Savior forever. Furthermore, it was also the Apostle Paul who wrote to us potential champions of faith this encouragement from the Lord in Philippians 4:13. "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." The Lord is with thee, thou champion of faith. It was our Apostle Paul, and a champion of faith himself, who wrote in Philippians 3:14, for us to press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Remember that word that our pastor likes to use so many times, sugleronimus? Sugleronimus is number 4789 in the Strong's Greek Concordance. It's a word that's translated joint heirs in Romans 8:17. And it was Paul who wrote about sugleronimus, joint heirs. And that word there means co-inheritors as of a wife with her husband, joint heirs. He says in Romans 8:17, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together with him. It was our Apostle Paul who wrote about the champions of faith, the givers of Hebrews, in Hebrews 11, where he mentions Gideon as an Old Testament hero of faith in verse 32 of Hebrews 11. And then we recently spent a lot of time going over Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 in our Sunday school class. A couple years it took us to get through that. But there was a lot of things that we discussed there. But who wrote that to us? It was our champion of faith, the Apostle Paul, that wrote to us explaining how we too could be givers, champions of faith. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So, we can be like Gideon, champion of faith, givers. And we need to view ourselves as champions of faith, potential full overcomers who run this race for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus with diligence, clearly focused upon Jesus, the author and finisher of what? Our faith. That's how we become givers, champions of faith, full overcomers. Another title for that is the Lamb's wife, who has made herself ready by yielding to the overcoming, wonder-working power of the Holy Ghost. If you're back in Judges, look at verse 34. We find that the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. Well, it's the same Holy Ghost that we have, James. Yeah. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? How are you going to be a giver? How are you going to be a champion of faith without the Holy Ghost? It takes the wonder-working power of the Holy Ghost in our lives to make us full overcomers. And believe me, we'll have plenty of things to overcome. We'll have many midnight, dark times we face in our lives, because out of the darkest of times comes the champions of faith, the full overcomers. Okay. Now, before we proceed any further with the next verses there in Judges 6, I want to do a little bit of a review to kind of some things that would taking place in the children of Israel in the days of Gideon, and why the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Midianites in the first place, to be greatly impoverished by them. And so we need to go back to and look at some things that took place in the days of Moses as he led the children of Israel in the wilderness. Now, keep in mind as we go through this that in the days of Gideon, the children of Israel were still under the law of Moses. We are not. Okay. Also Well, remember, John 1:17 says this, "For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." And the Apostle Paul further explained to us in Romans 10:4, "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth." We are not under the law. We're not under the same guidelines that the children of Israel were back in Gideon's day, back in Moses' day. I want you to go to Exodus 20, and I want you to see some things here, because this will all make a lot more sense what we read next in Judges 6 if we are familiar with this portion. And in Exodus 20, we read the Ten Commandments, which is the law given unto Moses for the children of Israel to follow way before the day when Jesus Christ abolished the law on the cross of Calvary. We're going to focus on the first two commandments God gave Moses, which is found in Exodus 20, verses 1 through 6. And keep in mind that these instructions were not being followed in the days of Gideon. Exodus 20, verse 1. "And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which hath brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments." Okay, you're in Exodus. Go to chapter 34. And I want to read a couple of verses there in Exodus 34. Exodus 34, 11 and through 15. I guess that's more than a couple of verses, but it says in Exodus 34, 11, "Observe thou that which I command thee this day. Behold, I drive out before thee the Amorite and the Canaanite and the Hittite and the Perizzite and the Hivite and the Jebusite. Take heed to thyself, lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land whither thou goest, lest it be a snare in the midst of thee. But ye shall destroy their altars," note that, "break their images, and cut down their groves," note that, "for thou shalt worship no other god, for the Lord whose name is jealous, for the Lord whose name is jealous is a jealous God, lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, and they go whoring after their gods, and do sacrifice unto their gods, and one call thee, and thou eat of his sacrifice." Now, especially note here in Exodus 34, 13 and 14, that these altars were places of worship, and God expected them to worship him at these altars, not other gods. Now, let's go to Deuteronomy, the seventh chapter. Moses made one last speech to the children of Israel, and that is recorded in the book of Deuteronomy. That is his speech. We'll start in Deuteronomy 7:1. And that handout that I had Mitch pass out to those of you that were here at the first explains the different meanings behind these different nations. It says in Deuteronomy 7:1, "When the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and hath cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou, When the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them, thy daughters. Thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son. Verse 4, here's the reason why. For they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you and destroy thee suddenly. But thus shalt thou deal with them. Ye shall utterly destroy their altars and break down their images and cut down their groves and burn their graven images with fire. For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you nor choose you because you were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he has sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. Do the math. Have you ever seen a picture of 5 generations? The oldest one in that picture is in their 90s, most likely. 1,000 generations, that's only 5 generations I was just talking about. That's a lot of time, isn't it? Verse 10, and repayeth them that hate him to their face to destroy them. He will not be slack to them that hateth him. He will repay him to his face. Thou shalt therefore keep the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which I command thee this day and do them. One more verse in Deuteronomy that we'll read, a couple of verses, is Deuteronomy 16, 20 through 22. Then we'll get back to the way things were in the days of Gideon, which you can see they weren't following this law laid out by Moses. Deuteronomy 16:20. That which is altogether just shalt thou follow, that thou mayest live and inherit the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not plant a grove of any trees near unto the altar of the Lord thy God, which thou shalt make thee. Neither shalt thou set thee up any image which the Lord thy God hateth. Obviously, in the days of Gideon, the children of Israel hadn't followed these instructions, these commandments of the Lord. And so that is why we read in Judges 6:1, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. Now, this next couple of verses will make more sense since we just read all this. Judges 6:25 and 26. And it came to pass that same night. We got a midnight story going here. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, unto Gideon, take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the grove that is by it, and build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock. This rock, have we heard of that this morning? This rock. In the ordered place, and take the second bullock and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove, which thou shalt cut down. Time went flying by once again, and we ran out of time. But I will say this, for those of you that aren't aware, we have my notes so far of the study and the Midnight Bible Stories on the website. And you can also listen to the Sunday school lessons off of the website. Thanks for your attention.